We have spent this now concluded Lenten season discussing the stories of Transfiguration Sunday and Lent, stories of mountaintops and valleys, of new beginnings and of stumbles, stories about journeys to the Promised Land, about Abram's first journey there from Haran, about Moses leading the Hebrews back, and the promise to the exiles that one day the community would return, a promise that we have heard from Ezekiel a few weeks ago and from Jeremiah this morning. We have heard stories of changes in leadership. We heard of Samuel's mourning over the king Saul had become, while David, still tending the sheep in the fields in Bethlehem, was waiting to hear of God's plans for him. We have heard stories of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness and of Jesus calling Lazarus out of the grave. We have talked about this community, this congregation, this piece of the body of Christ. We have talked about our fears for our future and also our hopes. Today, we have gathered to talk about what I am calling, for the moment at least, the capital R resurrection. Not the resurrection of the widow of Zarephath's son by Elijah, nor the Shunammite woman's son raised by Elisha. We are not here for the widow of Nain's son, nor Jairus' daughter, nor Lazarus, each raised by Jesus. We are not here today to talk about the resurrection of Tabitha raised by Peter, nor of Eutychus, a man who Paul raised after Paul contributed to his death. No, we are here today to proclaim the capital R resurrection, the one who was not raised by a human prophet, but the one raised by God directly, Jesus himself. Friends, Christ is risen. We can do better. Friends, Christ is risen. One more time. Christ is risen. Thank you. Thank you. We proclaim this resurrection today, of course, but we also proclaim it each and every Sunday we gather. This resurrection is why we gather on Sundays, the first day of the week, rather than Saturday, the seventh day and Sabbath. We gather this day as part of the proclamation of the resurrection because this is the day Christ rose. This is the day the women Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, Salome, and Joanna went to the tomb, looking to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. We do not, however, only proclaim the resurrection on Sundays, nor do we only proclaim it in speech and in worship. We can proclaim the good news of Christ many times, in many places, and in many ways. Lauderdale, Minnesota is a small community. It is not much larger than Romney, but it is tucked in between the much larger cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. In Lauderdale, tucked in the back of a neighborhood, wedged against a sound barrier by the highway, is the building which houses Peace Lutheran Church. About 20 years ago, Peace Lutheran was a very small congregation with about 20 members on its rolls, and if it was like most churches, we can assume somewhere between 5 and 10 of those were there on any particular Sunday. Each week, in their bulletin, they printed the balance of the church checking account and the number of weeks they could stay open with that amount. Often that number of weeks was in the single digits. But in hope And in trust, in 2004, they called a new pastor. Now, they did tell the pastor that they were a dying church. On his first Sunday in their pulpit, as he looked at the sparse attendance, as he read the dire estimate of how many weeks they could stay open in their bulletin, he told them that they had lied. They were not dying. They were already dead. He noted that driving by the building earlier in the week, even knowing that he was going to be their pastor, he thought the building looked not only vacant, but abandoned. The congregation decided then that if they were already dead, they had nothing left to lose, that if they were going to die, that they would die well. They realized that the pastor and several members of the congregation had experience in construction, and so they canvassed the neighborhood, distributing 700 flyers, offering home repairs. No questions asked, no conditions offered. If the homeowner could pay for materials, they would allow the homeowner to pay for materials. If the homeowner could not pay for materials, the church paid for it out of their dwindling budget. They accepted no payment for the labor. They did not ask about anyone's finances. They did not ask if anyone was part of a church. They just said, "We are here from Peace Lutheran Church, and we would like to help." The first year, only two people responded. One woman needed some concrete work done, and another wanted her house painted, and so the church took care of those projects. Slowly, though, word of this church that would fix people's houses spread, and so the next year they again flyered the neighborhood, and more people responded. Not only more people asking for help, but people who were members of other churches, who were members of no church, people who were not even Christians, started offering to help too, started volunteering alongside church members to repair these homes. They started donating time and money and materials to help in these projects and to help keep the church afloat. Slowly, a few even started showing up on Sundays. The church was still small. They were still limping along, but they were stronger. They were no longer thinking only about the next few weeks, but then they discovered that the builder who had constructed their building had not done it well, and the roof was on the verge of collapse. In fact, the only reason that the roof had lasted this long is because that builder had also never insulated the roof, and so the heat escaping from the church melted off the Minnesota snow that otherwise would have caved it in. The estimate to repair the roof was around $100,000. The congregation knew that they would never raise that much, but they had all learned skills in construction from helping out on projects throughout the neighborhood, and so they learned how to do it themselves. And neighbors, including many of those who would never join the church, showed up to help. A little while later, the church air conditioner died, and Minnesota does have big snows and cold winters, but they do also have very hot summers. A nearby school who had heard what this church was doing offered to donate some used air conditioning units to the church if another local company could refurbish them. The company agreed to refurbish these units at a discount, and then they learned to whom these air conditioners were going, and showed up with brand new units at no charge to the congregation. The owner of the company said that they wanted to pay it forward. By 2019, 15 years after this congregation was declared dead, their membership had quadrupled. That puts them about the same size as this congregation. And I know that they are still operating. I do not know how they fared through COVID, but I know that they are still open now, 19 years after they thought they were finished. Some of you were here with us on Maundy Thursday when I mentioned that the Passover celebration is, among other things, a reminder that the path from slavery to freedom is never straight, never smooth, and rarely clear. The same is true for the path from death to resurrection. On that long ago Sunday morning, when the women reached the tomb, they were distraught, they were afraid. Matthew records the angel's descent from heaven caused an earthquake. Matthew tells us the guards were so frightened that they shook and became like dead men, fainting on the ground where they stood. The women, too, must have been afraid because the angel's first words to them are the same first words angels so often have to say to us humans. Do not be afraid. The angel continues saying, I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So often we need to hear this message again. Do not be afraid. Jesus is going ahead of you. We may not know the way, but Jesus is going ahead of us. We may not see the path. We may not be sure where our foot will land, but Jesus is going ahead of us. We do not know our future, but whatever it holds, Jesus is going ahead of us, even to death, even to the grave. Jesus is going ahead of us. Do not be afraid. Amen.